This is Andy Shore from the Washington Hospital Center with a pulmonary and critical care literature update. I'd like to point out an article by Ebert and colleagues that was in the January 8th issue of JAMA. This study focused on smoking cessation. Tobacco abuse is the scourge of the pulmonologist. All of you are aware of the huge burden for both patients and the healthcare system related to tobacco abuse and tobacco dependence. We have a number of interventions to try and help our patients quit smoking, ranging from nicotine replacement therapies up to bupropion and varenicline, all of course have to be accompanied with some behavioral therapy and support. In this study, these investigators looked at the question of how should we or ought we combine pharmacologic therapies in this disease state or in this issue of tobacco dependence. And what they did was they looked at varenicline, which has been approved under the patent under the label name Chantix for smoking cessation, with bupropion SR. Because there's never been a lot of good data about how to combine these agents, and they certainly have different potential benefits. They work via different mechanisms of action, and they potentially also have different side effects that might be additive if combined. So what these authors did was they took approximately 300 some patients and randomized them to either getting bupropion or placebo in addition to open label varenicline. They looked at smoking cessation rates at various points in time out to 52 weeks. They looked at sustained smoking cessation, and they looked at the point prevalence of being tobacco free, and they looked at all this with biochemically confirmed and accepted methodologies. They also looked throughout the study at patients for symptoms of depression and anxiety, because those are important issues. Now, I think it's crucial to describe what these investigators did in some detail. All of these investigators worked hard to ensure that these patients got important physician support in terms of smoking cessation. They all got behavioral counseling at various time points. And all of this effort usually took less than 10 minutes. So they were getting excellent standard of care. The authors also excluded patients with a history of major psychiatric disease, which of course is an important confounder in issues of tobacco dependence. Overall, at 26 and at 52 weeks, between the varenicline alone arm or the combination arm, there was no difference in sustained smoking cessation. There were a few early trends that suggested combination therapy might have been beneficial. Those all abated over time, and smoking cessation rates were comparable at 26 and at 52 weeks. What's interesting is that the addition of bupropion was associated with increased rates of anxiety and depression. Now, one reason people have been interested in adding bupropion is that it's associated with less weight gain with smoking cessation than with some other agents. And there certainly was some signal of that. The thought was that if you could get a benefit with the addition of bupropion and another benefit in terms of not only smoking cessation being higher but less weight gain, you actually might have really hit a home run here in terms of this combination. Unfortunately, as I said, no extended benefit in terms of smoking cessation, and some signal of benefit in terms of weight gain with the combination, but not a huge difference compared to just the varenicline alone arm in terms of what the clinical significance was as you measure it in terms of absolute kilos. So overall, in the entire population, this data suggests that the combination of these two agents really doesn't add much and may actually be associated with some price to pay in terms of adverse events, in terms of symptoms of smoking cessation, in terms of anxiety rather, and depression. The authors did some very intriguing exploratory analyses. They looked at the subgroups of patients who had higher rates of nicotine dependence as evaluated by objective nicotine dependence scoring systems, and also patients who were self-reported heavier smokers greater than 20 cigarettes a day. And what they found was there was a major interaction between those two variables and the outcome in terms of smoking cessation at 26 and 52 weeks. And when you actually look at the subgroup of patients, and this is in the table 4 of their manuscript, and I think it's really the most intriguing piece of data they present, is that when you look at those patients who were heavier smokers or who had higher rates of nicotine dependence, and one would presume that these two populations overlap substantially, but the authors don't really draw that out and clarify that, what you see is significant signal favoring combination therapy. So I think it's important to point out that that's exploratory and hypothesis generating, but it does suggest that the extent of nicotine dependence and the extent of tobacco abuse interacts with and modifies the treatment effect of combination therapy. And so what I think will come from this is perhaps a follow-on trial, or at least I hope for a follow-on trial, where they look at patients who are heavier smokers as opposed to all smokers, and then randomize only the heavier smokers to combo versus monotherapy, and we might actually see something. Again, This is all exploratory subgroup analysis, not something you want to draw firm conclusions on, especially when there might be a safety concern in terms of symptoms of anxiety and depression, but very thought-provoking and certainly suggests there's room for further study and that this trial doesn't conclusively put the nail in the coffin of combination therapy. Again, tobacco remains a huge issue for us, very important article in terms of looking at agents that we have available to us as clinicians for treating tobacco dependence. Well done trial in the first week of January issue of JAMA. This is Andy Shore from Washington, D.C.